We're now going to look at the gospel for the midnight mass. It's the gospel of the birth of Jesus. The gospel for the day mass is the gospel of the infinite divine birth of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and so forth, you see. That's the divine, infinite, eternal birth. This is the birth in time of that same person, you see. And so Luke tells it in a very, if you'd have been going to Bethlehem because you were descended from David, and you were getting there on this probably pretty chilly night, you didn't get chilly in Jerusalem. I'll tell you later if I get a chance what we used to do, walk through the desert. And it was pretty chilly on Christmas Eve, but not like Minnesota or someplace. But the beauty of Luke's gospel, even, is the way that radiance shines through very simple, very pure humanity. It's beautiful. So the text begins. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. If St. Luke had known what problems he was creating by this text, he might have left us a footnote. Because we don't have any evidence that Quirinius would have taken up this census, you see, enrollment. We can't say he didn't. It would be great, though. We have an inscription saying, but we don't. So all we can do is say, there are texts which allude to it. I'm not going to go into them because, you know, there's the notice of one fellow who led a rebellion at the time of the census. Was it this census? We don't know. But you see, so that's Septuagint talk. You see? So this text, which is Luke 2, 1-14, you see, we begin with this in Hebrew, Vayahi, you see, and it happened. You see, Eyenito, it happened. That's there. So Luke's Greek very often is redolent of the biblical Greek of the Old Testament. And this is a good example. It happened in those days that this decree went out from Caesar, and the Caesar, the Kaiser, you know, the Caesar is Augustus, that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. That's okay. This proti eienito, yeah, this happened as the first. We'd love to have more inscriptions or statues or something, but we don't. But if we have to choose between Luke, who was there, and ourselves, I mean, like, why don't we give Luke a break, you know? Maybe he was right. We don't have everything from the past. However, that the whole world would be enrolled. Now, everyone then in Judea went each to his own town, because you see, the towns, the families were still associated with the towns. And so, what's David's town? Bethlehem. Remember that when Samuel was going to anoint David, and he went, sacrifice, and called the whole of David's family together, where did he go? Bethlehem. When the prophet Micah, as we'll read in one of our Christmas texts, when the prophet Micah prophesied the successor, the son of David, where was he going to be born? Bethlehem. And you, Bethlehem, are not the least. So Joseph, because he's of the family of David, you see, is going to Bethlehem. Turned out not to be a very hospitable place for them. To be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. What a mystery. here's Mary, you know, 8-point-something months pregnant, riding a donkey. She couldn't have walked 2.5 days. When you're that pregnant, you just can't do that. So the artists that portray her seated on a donkey are right. So Joseph either had one or borrowed one, so Mary could sit and made this trip. Now, technically, you know, you might say, well, she's the woman, she doesn't really have to go. Well, she knew the Holy Spirit would go. But besides that, she wanted to keep her husband company. They love each other. And so she goes, you see? And while they were there, the time came for her to have her child. And so, you see, and she gave birth to her firstborn, you see, a son. There he is, God among us. If you ever get a chance to go to Chartres Cathedral in Chartres, in France, on the east north door, there is this scene of Mary lying down still, sort of in a manger, wherever she was, or some, and she has Jesus, and she's touching him with her finger, like this, it's my baby, you know. And the shepherds are there, you know, one of them, you know, his stocking is coming off, another one's playing a flute to the baby. That sharp work, especially the sculpture, is unbelievably beautiful, because it shows how beautiful human life can be after the incarnation, even now, with all the mess and all the whatever. This, the beauty of that scene is a human beauty, and the sculptor who did it has captured something unforgettable. You see, whenever I think of the birth of Jesus, I see that picture. Oh, I have a picture of it. But I see that scene, that engraved there on the door. You see, big. Maybe it's at least 10 feet across and 3 or 4 feet high. So you see, she gave birth to her firstborn son. So she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. You know, that was the custom, make sure he can't move his limbs and hurt himself, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. They're poor. You know, they didn't drive up in their Mercedes and send the butler in to get, you know, they're poor. So the guys knowing, the innkeepers knowing, census time, hot dog, all our hotels are going to be full. And they see this couple come along, you know, and they can only afford about $1.50 a night. Sorry, no room. Because they're poor. This is God Almighty. Too poor to be born in a house. Isn't that remarkable? Think how much he loves us. You see? And so, I got to go on. And so, she gave her her firstborn, wrapped him in swaddling clothes. And so, who comes to visit? The mayor? No. Shepherds. Shepherds, they're like construction workers today. You know, they sometimes have a job, sometimes don't have a job. They're out, you know, all day, all night. They got to watch the sheep. They're not scholars. They probably can't read or write. That's where Jesus goes first. Remember, he's the Lord. He said to those angels, go there. That shepherd's field today, down there. There's a church. You know, when I lived over there at the École Biblique, at least one, and maybe more, I forgot now, Christmas Eves, we would celebrate the liturgy in the church, the big church at the École Biblique. And then a group of us would walk the 8 miles. We could have gone along the road, but we walked through the desert. You could hear the dogs howl. We were hoping no Israeli patrol would come along and think we were terrorists. And we walked the 8 miles down to Shepherd's Field and celebrated the dawn mass there. By that time, it was about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And we celebrated the Dawn Mass at Shepherd's Field, at the Migdal Eder, at the Tower of the Flock. That's the tradition, that it was near that tower that Jesus was born. And so there they are, you see, living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. And the angel of the Lord comes to them. And the glory of the Lord, the doxa of God, you see, shines all around them. And man, they were scared. I mean, that would be frightening for anybody. But these guys, nothing good ever happens in their life, you know. Woof! The angel says, don't be frightened. And now we have this famous text. Behold, I give you good news of great joy, which will be panti to lao for all the people, you included, shepherds, you see, because today is born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Okay. Those three words, I want to read a text for you. I may not have time to read the whole thing, but it's important that you see who this Christ is, you see. All those words, except for Christos, Messiah, are emperor words. This is an inscription, a first century inscription from a place called Priene, or Priene, and it says, it seemed good to the Greeks of Asia in the opinion of the high priest Apollonius, and here's the inscription. Since providence, Pronia, which has ordered all things, those are those stars we were seeing before, and is deeply interested in our life, has set in perfect order by giving us Augustus, the emperor, whom she filled with virtue that he might benefit mankind. You see? What happened to the Greek of that? Oh, it's right here. Okay. You see? Benefit mankind. Sending him might end war, arrange all things, and since he, Caesar, by his appearance, Epiphania, you see, excelled our expectations, surpassing all previous benefactors, and not even leaving to posterity any hope of surpassing what he has done, since the birthday of the God, Augustus, was the beginning of the good news. Behold, I bring you good news. You see, the Evangelion. You see, I bring you good news of great joy. Why? Because the Savior, our Savior is Augustus. No. He was Savior because he got the good GNP. Is that salvation? We're going to die and rot in the ground forever? Is that it? What kind of Savior is that? No. To these little shepherds, the angel says, I'm going to tell you about a real Savior. And he takes that Augustus word and plays it there, you see? And then, who is Christ the Lord? Kyrios, how many times has Kyrios been in this text, you see? The Lord, the Emperor, the Lord. Also applied to Adonai in the Septuagint. But between Savior and Lord, which are both emperor words, we have the word that changes them both, Savior. So now, you see, we have this Soter, this Savior, who's going to give us eternal life, and he is Kyrios, he is Adonai. You see? And he's among us, you see, as the Christos, as the Messiah. Hallelujah.